Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You guys, welcome back to another episode of Tea Time.
Tea Time!
Whee! Tea Time! Today, we have a very special, very amazing, very wonderful, very beautiful guest.
Yes.
Who we ran into
is
one
someone
time.
Someone else
here? No. No.
Bob! It's Bob the Drag Queen!
Woo! Bob the Drag Queen is in the house!
Who we ran into once at the Wicked premiere. Just that one time at the Wicked premiere. Do you remember?
Yeah, but I ran into him before.
This is true. We've run into each other a few times.
I know, but it was just iconic at Wicked because it was
Well, we had some conversations at Wicked during the Wicked thing that I don't know if we want to bring up at the table. But as soon as Bob told me exactly what he was going through in his personal life, I said we should put him on the podcast.
I'm happy to be here. You know, I went back to the that's the Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was there and I saw this lady and I was like, oh my God, that's Angela Bassett.
Period.
And my partner was like, that's not Angela Bassett. I was like, that is Angela Bassett. I know that it's Angela Bassett. And then he looked her up, and then it was her with her family on the red carpet wearing, I think they had just left something and came straight there. They were like wearing the same clothes. I was like, that's them. So I walked up to her and I was like, hey, Miss Bassett, and her husband, who I really appreciate, he was like,
yeah.
Which honestly,
yes.
gang, right?
Gang.
And I was like, I'm not going to answer, but I just want to say, I just really love your work. And I just think you're just so fantastic. You're like one of my favorites. And she goes, thank you. And then we just parted ways.
Aww. I love going to events where you get to meet people. I hate going to events where I have to schmooze.
Have you had moments, babe, where you've gone up to somebody like that who you're kind of like starstruck by? And you're like, I just want to say hello really quickly.
Yes.
Who?
Janet. Adam Sandler.
Janet Jackson once almost ran over. Peppermint is a huge, huge Janet Jackson fan. She's obsessed with Janet Jackson. And they went when she was like 16. Her and her mom went. And then they were like, her mom was like, we got to get out of here before the crowd gets crazy. So they were leaving the stadium. And then they just cut through the parking lot. And then this big bus was driving, but the lights were off. And the lights turned on. And Peppermint and her mom were like, ah!
Oh my God.
Screaming because the bus almost hit them. And then Peppermint says that the curtains just opened. And like to see who was screaming, and it was just Janet Jackson. And she was like,
just a glow.
And then Janet Jackson was like, it's all for you. No, that it was before the song came out.
You know who I saw at Wicked, and I was like, God damn, speaking of glow and all of this, J-Lo.
J-Lo was there?
Yeah.
Oh my God, and she looked.
She's having a rough moment right now.
Honey. Well, right now, but at Wicked, I mean, it's been longer than. It would happen pre-Wicked, but at Wicked, she looked phenomenal.
Did she look happy?
Oh my God.
No.
I don't know.
She did not.
I didn't care.
She did not have a smile on that.
I mean,
she's
having a rough time.
Her happiness. I'm not talking about her happiness. I'm talking about her physical appearance. I'm being on a surface, shallow.
Is that
she just looks snatched.
She's having a hard time, and she's trying to see if the gays will rally around her for pride, and it's not going to happen.
The gays are not having it.
Listen, don't come to us.
The gays, like, we really gave you a lot of opportunity.
A lot of leeway. A lot of leeway.
I saw Wicked. I've only been like truly dumbfounded like twice. Like I saw Angel, but I was like, I wasn't going to say hi to her. There's only been like two people who I've just been like, I can't, I'm having a hard time communicating.
Yeah.
One of them was who I'm now friends with was Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, the queen, the empress.
Girl, you know, I have a giant Whoopi Goldberg tattoo.
Hilarious. Oh my God, that's a good one too.
The Al Hirschfeld, yeah.
Hey, whoops.
And it says if you want to be somebody on there.
The other weekend when Raven and I were at a bookstore and she nudged me and she goes, Stanley Tucci. And I was like, God damn, Stanley Tucci. And I look up and I was like, that is Stanley Tucci. And the thing that was so hilarious was that she then showed me the book on the shelf behind me, which was Stanley Tucci's memoir.
That's
and it
hilarious.
Was him. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I was standing there and I was like, I'm going to say something to him. It's Stanley Tucci. That's amazing. And his book is right there. Like, I should ask him to sign it. And I looked at Raven and I was like,
had you purchased it?
No, but I was like,
sign this book that belongs to
I was going to be like, I hope you sign that book, you know, first edition. It's going to be worth something someday. Whatever. I was thinking of something stupid to say. And then I was like, babe, you're famous. Like, you should go say hi to him. And she starts laughing because
it wasn't Stanley Tucci. It was a random ass bald white man with black glasses and ears that looked just like Stanley Tucci. Okay, I have a question.
And then with the book, it was crazy.
I have a question. Would you gag if The Undertaker was standing in front of you or China was standing in front of you?
Well, because, China is dead, so I'd really be
rest
gagging.
Rest in peace.
I'd be like, Ariana, what are you doing here?
I just found out today.
I know that you are you were a huge fan of the WWF. But,
so my favorite wrestler of all time is Mick Foley.
Ooh.
When I tell you, I once got to go see Mick Foley. I had to do a gig that day. So I went in full drag to Caroline's Comedy Club to see Mick Foley do some storytelling.
That's what you do.
I was sitting in the audience in full geesh, probably amongst a bunch of Trump supporters who came in from Jersey and Staten Island.
Period.
But he was so magical. He was so amazing. He's also one of the few WWF, or that's how old I am, I say WWF.
Yeah, me too.
Wrestlers who was like standing against the Trump presidency. And The Undertaker also stood against it, which is amazing. We lost quite a few.
Yeah, we did.
Got Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, we did.
My favorite.
We got The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. And we have Mick Foley. But seeing Mick Foley was, when I tell you, Mick Foley's book is the first book I ever read cover to cover.
Okay.
Called Blood, Tears, and Sweat Socks. I read it in high school.
That's, yeah. That's a real title right there.
First book I ever read cover to cover. It's such a fucking good book. But
why WWF?
When you watch professional wrestling, it's one of the only TV shows that happens scripted, but it's in real time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they age as you age. It's not like soap operas that you come back and there's 20 years or it's the same day next week. A week for you is a week for The Undertaker.
Yeah.
An hour for you is an hour for mankind. You know what I mean? So we get to follow these stories. They're so intricate. They're so camp. There's magic. There's there's sluts. There's evil people. There's like it's just so, it's some of the best storytelling that I've ever seen ever. I hate that it's gone down to such this like conservative.
Yeah, it's weird. It's different.
Weird that it's that's going down. But like growing up, my goal was to grow up and be a manager or an announcer for the WWF.
Yes.
Wow. Can I tell you what happened? So yeah. I was at Madonna's Oscar party.
Ooh.
And I was
What'd
talking.
What you wear?
I was wearing a pink kilt. The kilt I was eliminated on the Traitors.
Smart.
And which is funny because I was wearing the kilt I was eliminated on the Traitors, and I look over and I see Neil Patrick Harris, and I said, "Hey, girl, how are you?" And he goes, and he said to me, "Are you watching the Traitors?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." He was like, "Do you just love it?"
Oh,
I said,
wow.
Yeah, it's a great show. And then he was like, you should go on the Traitors.
Hilarious.
And I said, are you watching the Traitors? Bitch, are you watching the Traitors? I said, Neil, I'm on this season.
What did
he was
say?
Too busy dancing.
He was like, oh my, he was ready. He texted me the next day. He was like, I'm so embarrassed.
I
said that to you.
He was drunk. Really
big deal. But it was hilarious.
How was Traitors for you?
The short answer is it was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
The long answer is it was very stressful.
Yeah.
It was probably the craziest time of my life. My mom passed away 2 weeks before the Traitors. I buried my mom 1 week before I went.
Whoa.
So I went to the Traitors. My mom passed away. The next week we buried her. The next week I came back to my nephew's graduation. And then I flew straight from Atlanta to Scotland to do the Traitors. So my mind was just all over the place. And then it's like you're in this place where like caskets and death and dying and you'll die. So it was a little, it was stressful, but I also got a chance to like relieve my mind from the madness of everything that was going on. Because me and my family, we had a 2024 was rough for me and my family. It was a pretty rough year. My house burned down in January, and then my mom passed away in May, and then I went to go, and then I was also on tour with Madonna. I was finishing my book.
Mm-hmm.
It was just madness. It was absolute madness. So it was like this small respite, this little bit of break from the chaos of my life. Because when you go there, you have like maybe like 3 or 4 days of just straight up quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like the only people you see are the producers who like come see you in the castle to visit you for a second until you can actually start socializing.
That's crazy. I can't imagine.
I heard that your mom owned a drag bar.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my father died, my brother died. And when you start really going back and doing the work when they pass, how did that mental weave itself within your moment on the Traitors? Like,
I think that the way that I ended up projecting my mom onto Danielle, I just found like Danielle's not my mom's age. My mother was 62 and Danielle's like 51, I think. So she's younger than my mom. But I just saw a black woman who's older than me, who trusted me, who made me laugh, who I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you right now, I am 10 toes down. I am a Danielle Reyes apologist. I am a Danielle Reyes stan.
Period.
I don't care what y'all say. Anybody watching and listening right now, if you have any smoke for Danielle Reyes, everyone could be like, why didn't they drag Danielle Reyes at the reunion? You know why? Because I was sitting her right next, my big ass was sitting right next to her. And anyone knew, if they looked at Danielle sideways,
I love that,
they were going to have a smoke of 1,000 Bob the Drag Queen slayages on their head, honey. They did not want that.
Yes.
So I met Nikki Garcia on the Traitors, who was a WWF Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to be your manager. Like, I will do it. I will audition. And she's like, she's supposed to post, like, who from the Traitors should be my manager? I was like, me.
So you
and
knew.
And it's not even close.
So you knew who she was.
I didn't.
But
because I stopped watching wrestling a long time ago.
Do you know who Dorinda is now?
I know who Dorinda is now. Okay. I did not know this lady. She cannot believe that I did not know her. And she's probably going to be like, why do you keep saying that? Because bitch, I didn't know you. And it's not shade. It's just true. I just didn't know who she was. And it really hurt her feelings.
It's okay. Some people need to be brought down a little bit.
I loved the moment when you checked Dylan Efron and let him know that his brother Zach is not a very good actor. And I'm just curious to know, have you seen Baywatch?
I actually did a commercial for Baywatch years ago. Me and Kati did a commercial for Baywatch years ago, and then I remember thinking to myself, I should go ahead and watch this movie. And actually, it was a pretty good movie.
Don't lie to yourself.
He didn't win an Oscar.
No.
But everyone kept being like, "Well, have you seen Iron Claw?" And I love wrestling, so I was like, "Let me go back and watch Iron Claw."
How'd you feel about it? Because we saw it. We could talk about it.
I'm not trying to drag the Efron family, but everyone came back. He was snubbed. I'm like, girl, he wasn't even nominated.
He wasn't. No, there was no snubs there.
If you had had a heads up about Rob's plan to banish you, would you have thrown him under the bus first?
So this is what I would have done. If I would have known about this, I would have actually gone to Boston Rob and said, listen, we know we're going to come for each other at some point. We know this. But why don't you and I get to episode 7, kill off as many faithfuls as possible, shake hands, and then say, may the best man win.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I would have done. I had no clue that they were... when I tell you I was blindsided... Now, I've done reality TV, but I've never done one of those, like, strategy-based... I've done, like, talent-based shows. I did America's Got Talent, I did Last Comic Standing, and I won RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And then I did my own show on HBO, but there was no competition. It was just like...
There was a lot of strategy.
Let's go have fun and uplift queer voices. So, baby, when I was sitting there... And I remember looking up being like, what the fuck is happening? And there's this one clip, and I have not spoken about this yet. And I'm going to mention it now because the show's over. But to the editors, I'm so mad at you guys because there was a clip of me after Boston Rob said my name where I was like shaking. That was not what I was shaking from. I need to be clear. That is not what I was shaking from.
Where were you shaking from? Because you whipped his ass with a bullwhip?
I was shaking because when Danielle wrote my name down, it destroyed. I never thought she'd vote for me. Of all people, I thought Danielle would not do this to me. She's my ride or die.
Yeah.
She would not vote for me. And when she wrote my name down, I was shaking because I was crying. But I wasn't shaking from Boston Rob.
Okay.
No shade to
Boston.
Boston Rob did gather me. Boston Rob, you gathered me. like a chignon, I was gathered, honey.
Do you think that Boston Rob is homophobic?
You know, I don't know Boston Rob well enough to know if he's homophobic. Mm-hmm. I know that people from Boston tend to be very problematic. Boston's a scary town. I am from Atlanta. I lived in New York City for 12 years. I live in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
If I tell you Boston's a scary town, Boston is a fucking scary town.
Period.
Ben Affleck.
But Boston Rob has never done anything shady to me. Again, I have never seen any of his other shows, so I don't know how he acts with queer people in other spaces. But for the most part, I thought he was honestly pretty chill.
That's fair.
If you could have murdered one more person,
hilarious,
who would it have been?
It would have been Dylan Efron.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, I would have murdered Dylan Efron, or maybe I would have also probably murdered Dolores.
Oh, Dolores.
Because they were
just
such
because
faithful.
Of the name.
No one ever thought they were going to... No one ever thought that because of the name. No one thought they were traitors.
Right.
My process was, you frame people who people think are traitors, like Tony, or Wells, or Sierra.
Wells.
And then you murder people who will just never be, like, Ayanne would have never been voted out of the castle. No one thought she was a traitor. It would have never happened, so we had to murder her.
That's fair. That makes
total sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of murder, on Tea Time, we do something where we ask our guests
to
reach into this spot.
Murder,
it's not.
Yeah, continue.
But I feel like...
It's a good segue, babes. Good job.
There we go.
You ate that.
Thank you. Bob, will you do us the honor and put your hand in that pot and tell us what we're talking about?
Let's see.
Yes.
In our
That's the teapot. Get it?
Yeah. Our teapot.
We are talking about jealousy.
Ooh. I'm a jealous-ass bitch.
Are you?
Really?
Oh, my God.
Are y'all monogamous?
Yes.
We're married. Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
This is true. I know.
I'm gay.
I know.
I'm a gay man.
So am I. I hear you.
But a gay man. We,
honey.
After 2 weeks, we're like, we're open.
I am a jealous person, but not in relationships. I'm jealous kind of like with other people's careers sometimes. Same. Like, period, right?
Same.
It's like, wait a minute, I've been here longer. How come you got that? Or
I was so jealous of my best friend from when there's one gig that she did, Monet Exchange, that she did that I'm like, I cannot believe I was not asked to do this gig. This is crazy to me. She was taken on to Wild and Out.
Oh, I love
you've done Wild and Out.
No, I couldn't because when they asked me, I was like really deep in Disney and I didn't want to like mess up my Disney connection. Mm-hmm. If they asked me now, it's on and fucking popping.
It is a show with like comedy and rapping.
So
and I'm like,
they should've asked you.
Literally a comedian who raps. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So I was very, but it was also fun to see her on. And I don't know if the show's still happening, but I think it is still happening. They have never asked
It's on tour, for fuck's sake.
They have never asked me. This is crazy.
This is great. You need to ask Bob right now.
What's his name?
Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon. Yeah. Nick Cannon. Ask Bob. Wake up. Come
Short
on.
King.
Short. No, he's tall. He's a tall. He's a skinny king.
Yes.
Can someone Google how tall Nick Cannon is? Nick Cannon was the host of America's Got Talent when I did it.
6 foot.
Yes. Yeah,
he's
foot.
Oh.
That's he's what a I tallish king.
He's
an average.
You're a taller king.
I guess I was in heels at the time.
Yes.
And I remember looking down at him, being like, "Oh, Nick Cannon's not that tall," but I guess six feet is pretty tall.
Yeah, huh? Queen.
So, yeah.
In a poly relationship, how does jealousy fit in there, if it does at all?
Well, it kind of, sometimes it affects my partners a little more than it affects me, to be honest. It has affected me for sure, but I gotta be honest with you, there are times when I'm like, I'm so happy that my partner has another partner. Like, I came home, and there was no one here. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Or, like, sometimes if I'm like, if my partner has a thing and I'm like, I don't want to go to it, you know who will? His other partner. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Woo!
So it's like relief. A relief. It's like you still get to keep yourself, but you still get to show love, but you still keep yourself intact, it sounds like.
Yeah, someone, I can't remember the name for it, but someone mentioned a kind of polyamory that I think I might actually be, which is where I don't really want to be anyone's, like, main partner. Like, I can't be anyone's, like, full source of happiness. Mm-hmm. I would love to be, like, there for, like, a lot of the fun times and even there to support you. But, if like, I can't be anyone's everything.
Now, why? Mm-hmm. Why can't you be anyone's everything?
Because I'm my everything.
Lovely.
And I don't have it in me to be anyone. No one's going to be my everything. I am my everything. You know what I mean? And I can't be that for anyone else because I don't want to be that for you. Because you will never be that for me. You will never be my everything.
How'd you learn that?
My mother was never married. So I grew up in a single parent household. And my mother and my father know each other and they were together. To be clear, my mother and my father were together when they had me. And even a few years after, but then my mother was like, this is not working out. We're going to part ways. My father did not abandon us. My mom was like, nah, not for me.
Love it.
Yeah.
Not for me and my kids. So we're just going to boot, scoot, and boogie.
Bye.
So my father was in my life, but he was not in the house. You know what I mean? And being with a mom who was just, like, independent, I was able to do her own things and, like, go where she wants to go, spend her money how she wants to spend it, be where she wanted to be. Like, you know one thing I really love about not being that kind of partner is, like, I don't have to wait for you to watch a show. I'm not waiting. I want to watch Severance. I had to wait 3 years for the season 2 to drop. And now you're on vacation. I want to watch it tonight. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to. I'm watching Severance.
There you go.
Which one of you doesn't wait?
We both wait because it's called compromise to keep the marriage together.
But
that means you want her to wait.
No, not at all, actually.
Back in the day, she did.
She evolved. I've evolved. It's interesting because I think that I don't think I could ever be, yes, help yourself to some of that delicious
tea. Would you like some more water?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I just wanted to do a bit.
I don't know. I think what I've learned about myself recently, and when I say it's very recent, like over the last few months, is that more freedom and more of just like individuation within your relationship dynamic is really where it's at. And so, like, if Raven,
I'm so sorry, I could have not said what I'm about to say. I could have just not said anything.
No, but you're gonna say it now.
But I don't think individuation is a word. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Individuation.
Individuation is a word.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
I know it's a word.
Oh, okay, it's a word. You ate that. It's a word. Believe women.
It's a word.
Believe women.
Believe in the education system. Thank you.
I went to school in Clayton County. So.
Exactly. Don't bring that up.
Yeah, L.A. L.A. private schools got you that. My parents can be happy.
Honey, don't
ate
play.
My ass with that one.
But I think that's where it's at, and I feel like part of that for me,
It was difficult at the very beginning.
In the beginning, it was because I'm a very anxiously attached person. So there's like secure attachment, avoidant attachment, anxious attachment. I was anxiously attached. And that has all the stuff to do with my childhood. But now that I'm becoming securely attached because of the work we've done in our relationship, it's like easier and more enjoyable to just be separate and let people do what they have to do.
And I got into our relationship with an individuality mindset.
Individuationality.
Word of the day. He's going to use it all the time.
Oh, it's
going
to be like, I'm getting tattooed. I have individuality. Right across my neck.
I came into the relationship like that just because I am already very secure. Mm-hmm. I also don't really get very jealous of my partners. When I was dating men, I'd be like, you get three cheats. And then after the
I'm
third
screaming
one,
screaming at
done.
You get three cheats.
Three cheats.
Did and you say that up top?
Literally.
I'm screaming.
And that's, you know what? That's why I said to her when she was in Atlanta over the weekend, I was like, listen, you say that you would give all your guys three cheats. Why don't we give each other three cheats, but we can do it with our shows? And then she was like, wait, what?
I thought that was a really cute thing.
You know, like have like another guest on the show?
No. Like watch shows. Like I can cheat and watch the show. She's nuts.
I do three podcasts with three other people.
No, you could not cheat on me with that.
I think it's really important though. And I told her early, I was like, I don't get jealous. Like if you think somebody's handsome or pretty or whatever, it doesn't bother me. When things start to bother me is when I feel your emotional heart start moving away.
I think it's kind of absurd to imagine to think that you have to be the most beautiful person in the world to your partner. It's not about having to be beautiful, just as long as you want to be with me.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't have to think I'm the hottest person in the world. I don't think I'm the hottest person. I think I'm pretty good looking.
I'm pretty good looking.
To think I'm the hottest one in the world is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have had a lot of jealousy of people and things and blah, blah, blah. And I heard this interesting take on it because I've always judged myself for being jealous. I also feel like it's such a negative connotation. But what this person said was, if you find yourself being jealous, don't actually judge yourself for it. Take it as a good indicator that whatever you're recognizing in someone else is something that you could have or you already possess in you. So, for example, if I'm super envious of a person who is hosting a podcast that is like top of the charts and they're doing this and they have these brand deals and blah, blah, blah. And I wish for that.
You mean me?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting here and I'm super jealous of you. The truth of the matter is that part of your spark is the same spark that I have. And I just have to organize it correctly. So
that makes sense to me. So yeah, I read a book. I'm not condoning or saying you guys should read because I actually believe it's bullshit, but at the time I didn't believe it was bullshit. The Secret.
I love The Secret.
I think The Secret's kind of messy. If you think hard about The Secret, it doesn't scan across all platforms, but it can still help you.
The original was What the Bleep Do We Know. Check that DVD out. Keep
it's
going.
Called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah.
Because I remember reading The Secret and it was like everything in your life you attract to it. Then I just remember thinking, this is going to get dark, but I remember thinking to myself, everything in your life, they're like, if you think about being late, you're going to end up being late. If you think about bad things happen. Then I thought to myself,
it's a slippery slope.
Then it broke to me and I was like, was everyone in the Twin Towers thinking of a plane hitting them?
Right.
No,
was every single person in the building being like, I hope I don't get hit by a plane today? Like, it doesn't work that way. You don't attract everything in your life. Sometimes bad things happen and there's no rhyme. There's no reason. It's not for a lesson. 100%. It just happened. You know what I mean? But anyway, something The Secret said was, if someone has something you want, just be happy for them as if you're happy for yourself. And you
that's
could have
it really
too.
Hard for me.
It is really hard.
Like, all the people who have multiple Emmys, like, that's really hard for me. Especially or
you
Oscars.
How many do you have?
Just one.
Must be nice.
Are you referring to...
No, but let me tell... We're not even going to go into it. Because...
Wait, who's the person you're talking about? Who has the multiple Emmys that you're...
No, I'm not going to talk. When the mic's off. Here's the deal.
I unplug your mic. I yanked the cord out of your mic.
No, but it's just like, for instance, let's take the last like award season, for instance. It's just like looking at all of it. You, as creative people, we know the things that we put out in the universe, and we know how much work we put into it. But then we're up against people who have more money than us, and they put more money into it, therefore they get more awards.
Something you said once that I will never forget.
Oh, shit.
I will never. I remember being like, that is so real to say that into a microphone. Is so, I don't remember where you were.
What the hell?
It was so fucking real. I remember like, wow, it do take nerve to say that. You were somewhere promoting an album and someone was like, well, I can't believe you're getting into music. You're like, I have like seven out, or like at the time you're like, I have like, I don't know how many albums you have. You're like, I have like 10 albums out. And they were like, oh, and then you were like, well, I'm here to promote it, but y'all ain't gonna listen to it. Mm-hmm. You were like, y'all ain't gonna listen to my music anyway, but I mean, it is what it is.
Period. I've had so much music out and nobody listens to it, and I think there's a couple of reasons. One, because I didn't say things that promote the negative vibrational scale mm-hmm. that radio actually promotes. Two, I'm not singing in a bathing suit. Three, I'm not over-sexualizing myself to gag people. And four, I know that my heart isn't in it for that vibrational fame that's necessary for some people, because you cannot be a singer for ass and be so popular because you will do whatever the people around you say to do. And then there are people that I just like writing. I just like saying poetry. I like doing things like that. And then you move forward. There are the gems. You do have those Lauryn Hills and the Erykah Badus, and you have those people that do still put out beautiful vibrational mm-hmm. music and don't need the gimme gotchas of it. But they also started at a different time period.
Don't you yeah. like some of the gimme gotchas too a little bit?
I can't stand it.
Really?
I will She's listen so to it anti. From I will listen to it from like my peripheral, and I'll be, you know,
you'll
I'll
hate
be,
it.
I'll be ratchet with it when it's time for a club, but if you bring that shit into my home, I can't do it.
I get in trouble.
Love it. I love it. I love that pro ho that I think something about it just really gets my goose cooking. I just really love it.
When it's time for suck it,
a
I'm
dick,
ready
suck
for
a motherfucking dick. Oh, suck today. All the dicks. Get on your knees and suck the dicks. Hey, have you thought about sucking a dick today? Have you
thought about sucking a dick today? Who do you think is one of the most jealous people in Hollywood?
I don't really know that many famous
no,
people.
No, just
like
even
that.
From like outside, just like looking in, you don't even have to know them. But just if you were to like read a person's body language or what you see of them on TV or carpets, and you'd be like, that person is jealous.
Kristen Stewart.
Oh. Kristen Stewart, do you want to build a snowman?
No,
Kristen
Stewart.
Bell. Kristen Stewart is Twilight.
Twilight. She just looks jealous.
I was like, are you trying to say that she does coke? Like, what?
Kristen. Oh, she's a Twilight girl.
Twilight girl.
Can I tell you that I watched The Batman?
Mm.
And that was such an interesting take on The Batman. I know we're talking about he's from Twilight too, right?
Yeah, Edward? Robert Pattinson. Yeah,
Robert Pattinson. Yeah. I didn't hate it. But I remember being like, what an interesting take on the Batman. Like, he was kind of like emo and a little whiny and kind of I'm just sad. Mm-mm. Which is a big break from Christian Bale. He's like, Joker! Joker! Which actually, I kind of warmed up to.
I loved him.
The voice was crazy, but I warmed up to it.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman of all time.
And Ben Affleck should have sat down somewhere.
Ben Affleck?
He was horrible.
Yeah.
He was a Batman for like one movie, period.
Were you saying Affleck was your favorite?
No. He was. I was trying to finish her sentence because she was Ben Affleck.
Oh, got it. I thought she was a favorite. I was like,
No,
Michael Keaton
is the one.
Yeah.
He's the GOAT Batman.
Period. I didn't hate Clooney, though.
No, Clooney was fine. Clooney was fine.
I didn't like it.
It was sexy. Ooh, yeah. George Clooney is
sexy.
Whoever that guy playing Robin was, I'm sure he's very famous. I can't remember his name. Baby, when I tell you that was a sexual awakening for me, those outfits. Oh my. When I was at this party recently, that Madonna party, I looked over and I saw Tobey Maguire. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, should I go and tell him that does he know that he's like a sexual awakening for a lot of gay men?
As Seabiscuit?
No. As Spider-Man.
Oh, shit.
When he's like transforming, he's looking at his body.
Why?
I think it was
because you can flip him and break him and move him down.
It was just the shirtlessness in the in the scene was just very sexy. I mean, that was
it for you.
Oh, let me tell you right now, the two VHS that were wore out in my house wore out.
Not VHS.
One of them was Taye Diggs in the Wood.
Period.
There's a butt naked scene where he's standing and getting hosed down. That spot of the DVD or VHS is broken down, and tired, raggedy wore out. I have seen, and if you pause it just the right moment, you can see a little bit of penis. He's so hot in that film. Yeah,
he's still hot.
Short King.
Yeah, he's a Short King.
Short King.
He's a Short
King. And then Brendan Fraser in George of the Jungle.
Hilarious.
I loved that movie.
When he is standing there butt naked with the book in front of his crotch. The bowl.
Yeah, you died. Ooh. You died.
I had a moment.
What
like
about
that
in
with
Whale?
Now and then. What? Wow. The Whale.
He was good in that film, though.
He was fantastic.
That was the first time. That's a big sexual awakening for so many people. Babe.
That was the first time.
A lot of people
actually
like bears. And this.
Whales. That was the first time I liked him as an actor in Whale.
He was really good in Bewitched, too.
Bedazzled.
Bedazzled.
To be honest, I have never paid it because as a young person, I was just looking at him for his body.
Yeah. You were sexualizing him.
Yeah, and I don't think
Was everybody else.
I don't think he was going to get any Oscars for Mummy.
I love the fucking Mummy though.
Oh, great franchise.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I can't do it.
You don't like the Mummy? So
no, I could not do Brendan Fraser movies until I saw him serious. I couldn't do it. I didn't understand.
Now you've gone back in the catalog.
But you don't like the campy stuff sometimes? He's the original Rock. Like what the Rock is to action films today, Brendan Fraser was that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Rock has a groundedness to him that I couldn't see in Brendan Fraser. I really had a hard time with Brendan Fraser
work. I just want to say very quickly though that your tape moment, I had that moment with Now and Then, because there's this moment in the movie where Devon Sawa gets his clothing taken from him and they have to run naked after the girls, and he bends over at one point or squats down, and I used to try and pause it a thousand and one times to see his penis, just a little tip of the penis. And you can kind of see a little bit of the ball.
You know what my movie was? You know what my movie was?
It's going to be something with a woman.
Swordfish. Titties.
That I had to remind you of that.
Yeah, and once you did,
it's Halle Berry.
The movie where I saw titties and I was really into these titties. I want to say it was Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde.
Ooh.
There's a scene where you can see her breast, and I remember being like, "Oh my god, her breasts look amazing."
Who was it? Whose boobs were they?
The woman who plays Mrs. Hyde. I can't remember. I do not remember this woman's name, but I remember wanting to watch that movie. Just to see her. Are we all like bi pansexual type vibes here?
I am no longer bi.
No more bi to the guys.
Bye. I said bi to the guys. I couldn't do it. I held on as long as
they all cheated on you.
3 times each.
One really did though.
One really fucked her up.
Had like a baby and everything and was like, it was
while you were with him?
Yeah. It was crazy.
Did you date any celebrity guys?
A lot.
Like secretly or like
secretly. Ooh, don't play with me.
Oh shit.
No, it was a thing. I you guys, movies and sexual awakenings, I just want to talk about it really fast, because Clueless, for me, there wasn't anything overly sexual in that movie.
Yeah. That was your white woman.
There were long legs.
Love.
Beautiful legs.
What was your white woman love movie?
You know what I loved in that movie?
She was
I just
a white
thought
woman.
Babes, can you don't do it. But the way she just flipped her hair and then, like, pursed her lips.
I can try, but my hair doesn't really do that.
The hair all in the face? I'm screaming. The hair all in the face? I'm screaming.
It's that. That thing right there is what I used to do when I was a girl. Like, I thought that was the cutest thing in the world. Let me help you out, baby.
This is, like, so hot.
Yeah.
Did you see her doing that on TikTok with her son? It's like a scene where she, like, you know where she shoves someone or someone?
Yes.
And she does it.
SF.
And she does it with her son. Her son is so cute.
Bear.
Her son is on film and she, like, shoves her son out of the way. And she's like, ugh, as if.
I love it. That's the biggest camp I can get.
You also love the Ashley and Mary-Kate moment of it all.
Oh my god. Don't, Ashley, I love you. Okay, my question to you is, movie that was like, you know what? I'm gay. Moment.
I mean, I've never not thought I was gay or queer. I mean,
queer. You're queer?
I like men and women.
Okay, fair.
The first time I remember having an ever celebrity crush was Christy Yamaguchi.
Wow.
I remember going up to, I remember seeing Christy Yamaguchi skating and being so, thinking she was so stunning, and I went up to the TV and I remember kissing the TV.
I love
and
it.
The TV shocked me, and that's when I turned gay. No, I'm kidding. My lips, I remember getting shocked and be like, oh my god, like, I remember like, oh, my first kiss.
I love it.
Was with Christy Yamaguchi.
Explain queer and bi for me. What's the difference?
So queer is a catch-all term, right? Yeah. Because I am, so sometimes people who are bisexual, they're like into men or women.
Yes.
And it typically is often reserved for just like cis men and cis women.
Okay.
Whereas I would say I'm pansexual, meaning like any gender expression there is, cis men, cis women, trans men, trans women, non-binary people. Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of beauty in a lot of people.
I love that.
You know what I mean? And queer is just kind of a catch-all term that I use to describe in case I want to be like, well, pansexual means, you know.
So are you Wayne Brady's little brother?
We could look alike.
Yeah, you do.
I could be, and I know Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady, actually, before Wayne Brady went on to Kinky Boots, he actually came to my bar to watch me and my friend perform, get notes and, like, see. And Wayne Brady was genuinely very good in Kinky Boots.
Yes, he was.
It was a little butch.
But
it was.
I mean.
But he was honestly great. Did you, how many Broadway shows have you been in?
I've only been in one and will only be in one.
Sister Act was the only
Sister Act was the only one.
And those are hard songs to sing. They said, what was it? Oh, look at my style. Could it be more glam? Look at my looks. Can you say hot damn? Look at it. You know what I am.
Me, I'm fabulous, baby. Oh, my God. I literally am having a traumatic moment right now. I can't even do it.
I triggered you.
She's triggered.
It is hard. So I went to school for theater education, and then I dropped out of school in my third year and moved to New York City to be a Broadway actor. No one told me you have to be able to sing and dance to be on Broadway.
Well, because in Hollywood, you don't have to be able to dance.
Exactly. I should have moved here.
Yeah, exactly.
But I moved to New York instead. And then I started doing stand-up comedy because stand-up comedy is really my first love was theater, but stand-up comedy became like, I'm much better at it than I am at musical
good.
Theater, to
You're
be honest.
Very good.
So then once I started getting into, doing stand-up comedy and stuff, I took a big break from theater. I had not done a professional show in maybe 11 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I got a call from Tony Kushner, who wrote Angels in America. Mm. He wrote Lincoln. He wrote Carolina Change. He's won the Pulitzer. He's won, I think, an Oscar. Oh, wow. I'm pretty sure he has all the awards there are for writing. And he was like, you should do Angels in America. I bet you're a good actor. Can you audition for Angels in America? So I did it. So I went from doing like no theater at all for 12 years to going back to doing Angels in America, which is a 3.5 hour play. It's two plays. Mm-hmm. Each one is 3.5 hours, 8 times a week.
Fuck that.
I lost my voice.
And your sanity.
No, it is, you belong to the theater.
1,000%.
You live at the theater.
For ducats. For nothing. You're not buying a house after it.
It's not a lot of money, y'all. It's not a lot of money. Because, because the Broadway houses are not that big. It's like, what, 800 seats?
If that.
So you have to, like, theater is like a labor of love.
It is. It is a passion. Now, if Dungeons and Dragons was a play, what would you play in it?
I feel like I would definitely be a tiefling, for sure.
All right.
I want the horns.
Okay.
I love the magicness of it. Because, like, the truth is, in real life, I'm a pretty large person. I'm about six foot.
You're a tall king.
Yeah, I'm 6'2", and I'm about 230 pounds. Yeah. I'm a big person. But I get to be this, like, tieflings aren't necessarily small, but I wouldn't want to be an orc. That's just too obvious.
No, that's not fair, no.
That's too obvious. So I love when I did Dungeons and Drag Queens. I got to play this, like, sheepish little recluse witch.
Love it.
A recluse witch. Do you have those moments where you meet someone who hasn't seen your show and they apologize profusely and you're like, you don't have to apologize?
No, what I have is people not knowing who I am when they talk to me. Somebody else tells them who I am and then they apologize. Like, they offended me by not knowing who I am.
And then because you say things like, yeah, you should know this face.
I don't say that in public. I feel... I said in the privacy of my own bathroom. But that is the part that irritates me. I'm not looking for fame. I'm looking for a check, period. So, like, when you
and
say,
to get to
I'm
the front
so
of the
sorry.
Line in the club.
Always.
Oh, I'm not.
Period. I will always be famous so I can get to the front of the line.
Yeah, I'm like, not waiting the line.
Like, I keep my insurance so I can stay in the front of the line.
I wish my fame could get me to the front of the line at the grocery store.
Period.
Mm-hmm. I wish that that someone at Ralph's would be like, right this way, Mr. Drag Queen.
Or do you wish
that you, just for
or do you
people,
wish
like,
that
store.
Your fame was so famous that you couldn't even go to the grocery store?
No,
anymore?
I don't want to be that famous. Not that famous.
I need to shop for my apples.
Not that famous.
Do you think that there's a situation where jealousy can help you?
So I don't think that jealousy is necessarily a bad thing. It's okay to acknowledge that you're having jealous feelings, but I think that you can just acknowledge what it is and use that to move forward to become something stronger.
Yeah.
I think that there are times where, like, if someone has something that you want and you want to have it, like you said, when you recognize that you are also capable, in The Color Purple musical, she says, I believe I have inside of me everything that I need to live a bountiful life.
Yes, honey.
So if you see someone having something that you want and you want it for yourself, instead of projecting your jealousy and your negative emotions onto them, take them and ask yourself, how can I come out of this? How can I help myself? How can I achieve that? So I do think that seeing, coveting something, envying something could really help you out.
I agree. And I think that there's a difference between jealousy and then the slippery slope of comparison, which I think that when we like get stuck in this loop of just comparing ourselves and, you know, victimizing ourselves to situations, why me, why do they get it and I don't, instead of focusing on the work that we need to do to get to get to where we want to be, or to just accept our surroundings and accept who we are and then focus on building ourselves up, we just end up in these you know, slippery slope, gnarly loops that don't have to be that way. And there is a difference. And comparison really is, I think, the thief of joy.
Or it could be the boost you need to become who you want to be, depending on how you view it.
Yep.
You know, if your comparison is like, you're shit, you're nothing, you're bad, you could never have that. But if you're like, I could be that. Like, when I first saw Bibi Zaharbanay win RuPaul's Drag Race, I compared myself, but I literally thought to myself, I could do that.
Yeah.
That was literally my thought. I remember thinking to myself, I had never done drag a day in my life. I thought to myself, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. So I did compare myself, but I used it to motivate myself as opposed to letting it. It could be the thief of joy.
Right.
It doesn't have to be the thief of joy.
So it's always perspective, and it's always how you use it and angle it.
Good to know that you can use your jealousy to rise above it all. There we go.
Today we are toasting to Joseph Walder.
Yes, Joseph Walder.
I'm going to literally just read this from the cards, you guys.
It's okay.
I'm about to tell you why.
I thought he was famous. Is he famous?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Walder was on his way to work at the post office when he heard a meowing sound.
Meow.
He found a kitten trapped in a tight space and then got it free.
Nice.
Then he put the kitten in his sweatshirt pocket where it slept for the rest of his shift.
Warm.
On his way home from work, he stopped at a grocery store and decided to buy a lottery ticket.
How much?
A few days later, he realized that he had won the jackpot, which was over $700,000.
Wow.
Walder and his spouse credited their good fortune to the small kitten he rescued on the day he won the lottery. He then used some of the money to retire his parents and to donate to charities, saying, "My wife and I have everything we need. We just want to help others."
Yes.
So Joseph. Today we're toasting to his generosity.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Way to go, Joseph.
You're so much better than me. Here's what I would have done with that $700,000.
That's what we want to know.
Yeah, for sure. The first thing I'm going to do is taxes, obviously. So that's not really all mine, okay? Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to buy some property, period. I'm going to go to another state with good tax incentives, and I'm going to buy some property and make that money work for me. As for the kitten, it's for the kitten.
Lucky pussy.
I'm going to call her Lucky Pussy.
That is a good name for a kitten.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a really good name for a kitten.
What would you do with that $700,000?
If I was given $700,000, again, first thing I do is pay taxes. Yeah, have you ever, like, you've never competed on, like, a game show, have you?
No, I host a game, one.
So I won a reality TV show.
Yes.
And when you win a reality TV show, it's taxed at a higher rate. A prize tax is more than
50?
Income tax. It's roughly somewhere between like 40 and 50%.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, so when you see someone on TV who wins $100,000, they really only won $60,000.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay a very expensive accountant to do that for
you.
Yes, you do. And they charge you another $10,000.
So you're pretty much going home with $5.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
You're going home with $2,500.
So I would find an accountant to help me figure that money out. I would then go ahead and take that. And then, honestly, I'm going to invest it back into my art.
Smart.
Because I tend to make most of my money by telling jokes and by dressing up and by looking nice and, you know, wearing my drag. So I would use that money to, because then I know for a fact, like, property in this and Bitcoin and that could, but I know. I can count on Bob the Drag Queen to make me some motherfucking money.
Period.
$700,000. I am getting a dark green Range Rover with like the brown.
IRS is coming after you
the
immediately.
The brown, like the tan, camel-y brown interior. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous. And then I'm going to Dubai to get whatever face thing Lindsay Lohan did. And then whatever is left, I'll give to my wife.
I gotta be honest. I don't think that what Lindsay Lohan did in Dubai, I don't think that money could cover it. Because first of all, I've never been to Dubai.
I have.
Dubai is so those people are rich in a way that we can't fathom.
That's rich.
They are crazy. Like,
rich isn't even the right word. Yeah. It's wealthy wealth.
Truly. Yeah.
It's wealth.
Well, you guys, it was just a guess. It was just like a dream of what I would do.
Yeah.
That's just your dreams.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, listen. So I wrote a book.
Yes.
If you can believe it, I wrote a book. It is not a biography. It's a historical fiction novel called Harriet Tubman Live in Concert.
I'm dead.
In this book, Harriet Tubman comes back to life. She is writing a hip-hop album. She's right now in 2025 writing a hip-hop album with a former hip-hop, BET award-winning, Grammy award-winning producer made up for the story.
Sit down, Louis Miranda. What's
his
name?
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Sit down.
Louis Miranda sits me to the moon.
That's me. Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, yeah, have a seat, honey, because I, Bob the Drag Queen, is here. I'm very proud. There's an audiobook as well. I recorded the audiobook myself, and there are two original songs in the audiobook.
Yes, put your hand up like this and say, this is what the book looks like.
This is what the book looks like.
Perfect.
Wait, there it is.
I dressed up as Harriet Tubman once.
Don't. And thank you so much for coming on Tea Time, Bob the Drag Queen. If you would like to see the full version of this interview, you can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Please cut.
Please cut.
Please cut.